Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Durant left side, back to Shengun, inside, layup is up and good! They score with 11.1 to go. Steve Kerr says play on. Warriors down one, 117-116. Curry guarded by Thompson. Draymond will screen. Curry gets Smith Jr. Dribbles left, 2 seconds, takes a three off the dribble. It's up, it's no good. The buzzer sounds, the ball game's over. Draymond wanted Pajemski to come up and screen. The Warriors have lost a heartbreaker here. Finals 117-116, but man, what a game this turned out to be. What a great NBA game. Glad you guys were with us listening tonight, because this had a little bit of everything. Constant runs, teams going back and forth. Even the way the game started, the Warriors had a 7-0 run. Rockets came back with 6 straight. Warriors came back with 7. Rockets called a timeout. That got things going. Steph Curry came off the bench in a regular season game for the first time since 2012. He scored 29 points off the bench, the most he's ever scored off the bench in his illustrious Hall of Fame career. The Warriors were down. They made some mental errors at the end of the third quarter, and the Rockets led by 10 starting the fourth. But Golden State kept fighting and fighting back, and all of a sudden there it was. With, you know, seconds left, they have the lead by one. And then Shengun, a really quick-hitting play designed by the Rockets, well done by Ime Udoka, and they get a bucket. Warriors can't get a good look at the end, and that was it.
No, I mean, the execution was fantastic. You look at the Warriors, 34 assists, 10 turnovers. Great. Rockets, 30 assists, 13 turnovers. Great. Now, they did give up 23 points off their turnovers, Warriors only 14. But you look at the assist-to-turnover ratio, both teams played really well offensively. Rockets shot 55%. Warriors shot 50%. So it was a really fun game to watch. Three-point shooting was really good for the Rockets, 13 for 39. Warriors were just okay, 14 for 40. Free throws, kind of a wash. But, no, it was just a really, really fun game to watch. And the talent, like, if you come to an NBA game, to watch an NBA game, and you want to see the guys that you know play really well, the stars, they did tonight. I mean, they absolutely did. KD was fantastic tonight. Shengun was really good. Steph was really good. Draymond was really good tonight. So the guys that you expect to play well played well. Just came down to them making one more play. That's it. One more play. That's all it was. And I don't have a problem at all with Steve not calling a timeout there. You don't want to let them get their defense set. And you trust Steph with the ball, and you trust Draymond being out on the court. They already had a play called, and you live with it. So it just that was just a fun game.
This is kind of a Daryl Arata question. Daryl does our game notes and does a great job researching all the numbers and everything. But Draymond played 34 minutes, had one turnover. Steph Curry played 26 minutes and had one turnover. When's the last time the Warriors lost a game where those two guys played 60 minutes combined and only had two turnovers?
Whew.
That's one where, you know, for somebody in a dimly lit room with a, you know, going through box score after box score after box score.
Good luck.
I think that's called an intern, RC. Yeah. I think that's what we need an intern for.
Oh,
here,
man.
Kid, good luck. We'll see you in August. Oh, man.
I mean, that never happens.
I mean, yeah, because usually they have the ball so much, they're going to commit turnovers.
Yeah.
And they're both guys that love to think they can thread the needle with every pass. But Draymond made a couple of great passes. In fact, the one that gave the Warriors the lead,
yep,
that pass went right over Amen Thompson's ear to GP2, and Thompson had no choice but to try to block it, and he goaltended it. And the Warriors had that lead. But, man, just, you know, again, it's a loss. You don't want to lose. But let's look at the reality here. Number one, the Clippers won. So they're going to be up 3 games. Even if the Warriors win, they would have been up 3 games with 4 to play. Okay, that's not going to happen. The Warriors are the 10th seed at this point.
Yes.
That's the way the season has gone. The injuries and everything else have kind of caught up with them that way. So they're the 10th seed. So a win tonight would have been down 3 with 4 to go. And so really, you know, to me, it was the level of play the Warriors showed tonight. Most everybody, with the exception maybe of Kristaps Porzingis, had a really good game. And De'Anthony Melton saw a couple of threes go down. That's going to be beneficial as you head toward a play-in situation. He was in a frightful famine from three. And, you know, I just think, you know, they might have found a guy they can throw out there for a couple of minutes a night, 5-10 minutes, depending on the injuries, and Charles Bassey. So, you know, I think on the whole, getting Steph back, it just changes the whole complexion of this team. You know, now this team looks a little bit more like a team that could cause some damage.
Yeah, I think you just like to get some wins heading into a play-in game, to start feeling good about yourself. Like, the work you're putting in is paying off, and you just you're gaining a little confidence heading into a play-in game. As far as what this meant for seeding, it meant nothing for the Warriors because they were going to be 10. It meant everything for the Rockets. The Rockets still fighting for 3, 4, 5. They're right in that mix. So it was hugely important for the Rockets to get this win, and not as much for the Warriors, other than the fact they like to – feel like you could string together a few wins before you hit the play-in game. And they're going to have a chance at that. They're going to get Sacramento twice, and they're going to get the Lakers. And the Lakers, who knows if Reeves will be back. Luka's not going to be back until the playoffs at the earliest. And then you have the Clippers, which may or may not determine not what seed you are, but who you play in the first play-in game. Because the Clippers and the Blazers are still kind of battling over that, so that one could come into play. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, you just want to get some wins. I agree with you; they look good tonight. You couldn't ask for any more from Steph. 26 minutes, he shot over 50%. Shot 50% from three. Only had one turnover. Like, he looked really, really good for his first game back. So hopefully, he can gain some momentum from this. And you're going to have some very, very winnable games coming down the stretch.
So if the Rockets end up in the 4-5, they play Denver or L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, L.A., anybody's got a chance. But say they play Denver. What do you think their chances are? I just think Denver's a team in the first round you do not want to play. I mean, Oklahoma City and San Antonio are on a different level than everybody else, but Denver's got Jokic, and that just changes everything.
Yeah, it just kind of negates what Şengün does, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Şengün's still going to do a little something, but, I mean, you have Jokic, and he can take away some of what Şengün does. Now, they'll have a chance, I mean, because of the way they play defense. Anytime you play defense like that, you're going to have a chance to beat anybody in any series. You may need a breaker or two, but, yeah, I absolutely think you'd want to play the Lakers, especially with how banged up they are.
Right.
I mean,
absolutely.
Again, who knows when Luka's going to be back. And, hey, we don't even know when Reeves is going to be back. And they haven't said he's out for the regular season.
Four to six weeks, they said.
That's what they said for Reeves?
Yeah, that's what I saw today.
Jeez.
Reeves is going to miss the first round, as is Luka probably.
Yeah, I know they said Luka for sure until the playoffs started. Like, he's going to be out the rest of the year. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that just stinks from an NBA fan.
Oblique, it says out 4 to 6 weeks. That's what ESPN was reporting.
Man, that is rough.
Yeah.
That is rough. I mean.
Well, you know, it's rough. It's the way it goes. I mean, you know, the Warriors have gone through it in a worse level with you know, Jimmy out for the year and Moody out for the year and then Steph out for 2 months. So every year, I was told this years ago by an old football announcer. I asked him, I was interviewing him on a talk show years ago, and I asked him about, you know, what's this year about? He goes, well, every year is about injury. And I never forgot that, you know, because it's like, he's right. Every year is about how healthy are you, and if you're healthy, how good are you?
Yeah.
So.
No, it just. It stinks from an NBA fan standpoint.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
You don't
get these teams that are healthy. And, I mean, last year it was Lillard going out and Tatum going out. And, like, that's all I ask for this time of the year. It seems like it's harder and harder to come by the last 4, 5, 6 years. Just everybody be healthy going into the playoffs. And it seems like you can't even get that. So it's kind of a bummer that they're going to miss the first round of the playoffs. But, like you said, I mean, it is what it is. And you know, no one's crying for you. No, everybody's dealing with it. So you just make the best of it and move on. It's just from a viewing standpoint, not a lot of fun.
Matt Thomas just stuck his head in here, the voice of the Rockets. He's, I hate all of you. He still hasn't gotten over last year. He hasn't gotten over 27. It's just, you know, It's one of those things.
But dang, the Warriors didn't shoot 0 for 27. They did. You mad at that team? It's so funny, too, because I think Warrior fans still hold on to that kind of Rocket hatred a little bit.
Yeah.
And by hatred, I mean sports hate, which is different.
Yeah. Right.
There's nobody on that team that's left.
Yeah,
like,
no.
They're all different guys.
Yeah.
They just see the uniforms. They're like, oh.
Yeah. Where's Harden? No, he's in Cleveland.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks.
Exactly. Yeah. All the guys that were there. Where's Westbrook? Sacramento. Where's Paul? He didn't play anymore.
Where's Eric Gordon?
Who cares?
Can't play anymore. Well, Capella's still there. He can still.
Oh, that's right.
Capella.
Was he on those teams?
Oh, yeah.
He was on those teams. He's been around too much.
Adams was on those teams.
That's right. Adams, yeah.
So there's a couple. There's a couple guys.
I guess there is a couple guys, yeah.
So
there you go. But yeah, they. I doubt they're booing Clint Capella.
Well, let me tell you, having done games in Houston, those people still don't like the Warriors. They're still a little hate there, which I understand.
Understand it too, but but the face is still here at least,
right? Yes, yeah.
I mean, and Draymond,
yeah.
But let's be honest, we love Draymond. He's easy to hate. Yeah. When you're in a different city, he's easy to hate.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
We did that about. I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, we talked about the Bay Area's, who in the Bay Area, if they went to another team, would get booed immediately when they came back.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Draymond's one of those guys.
Yeah.
You love him because he's yours. You're like,
absolutely.
Oh, I love you. You're the best. Absolutely. Oh, you're somewhere else? Boo! And that's why you love him.
Oh.
That's absolutely why you love him.
Well, talking to some fans before the game today, I said, you got to understand, this is a guy that he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Okay, and how many players are in the Hall of Fame who aren't there because they're scorers, offensive players? Not many. Not many that are strictly a defensive player. They're not great offensive players. And he's one of them.
Me and my buddy were talking about that today. I brought this up, and I'd like someone to find this out for me.
Okay.
How many guys in the Hall of Fame average less than 10 points in their NBA career?
Ooh.
Because Draymond's certainly going to average less than 10 points in his NBA career.
Okay.
Right? He's got to be in the nines somewhere. He had 1 year at 14. I think he had 4 years in double figures.
His career average is 8.7.
Yeah, so he won't even come close to 10. And he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. How many guys do you think are in the Hall of Fame that average less than 10 points?
Not
from a simple AI search.
Yes.
Rodman, of course.
Rodman, Ben Wallace, probably.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh, he averaged less than 10.
9.8.
9.8. Okay, so Mutombo, Rodman.
Ben Wallace,
yep, we got that one.
Yeah. And then it gets pretty thin after that.
It's like, it's
Casey Jones.
Okay, see, I wouldn't ever
go that far back.
But we would.
USF's Casey Jones.
Yes, yes.
But you're right. It doesn't happen a lot.
Nope.
That's the thing. Me and you are both baseball fans. How many guys got into the Baseball Hall of Fame based on defense?
Not many.
Ozzie Smith?
Yeah.
Mezeroski, maybe?
No, you'd be surprised.
Was he a pretty good offensive player?
Well, you'd be surprised how many RBIs he would rank out there.
Okay. So maybe Ozzie.
Yeah, Ozzie. Well,
but there's not a lot of them.
But put it this way. I don't think if Mezeroski wasn't a great fielder, I don't think he would have gotten in strictly on his offense.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a good offensive player. Wasn't a great offensive player. But, yeah.
But it's just amazing because defense, Draymond pointed this out. And Wemby pointed out a couple weeks. Defense is half the game.
I know. Why is that? Why was that such a big story?
I don't know. But here's the interesting
part. What are we doing
here? Here's the interesting part because it's so obvious. But when you look at the Hall of Fames, it's based on offense. People kind of forget about defense sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to remind them, like, hey, there's the other side of the court that these guys in basketball, in baseball, in hockey, they got to play. You got to play both sides. And I would say, what would you say over the last?
There's a couple of guys in the Hall of Fame in basketball that I think, wait a minute, this guy didn't guard a guy in his life.
I bet you there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a lot of those guys. That's my point, is that if you're good offensively, you're going to get recognized and you're going to get accolades a lot more than defensively. But I would say,
I think our season is high school Hall of Fame. Oh, no, sorry.
When's the first time you heard this? Because we heard it a lot with Clay.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best two-way off guard in the league. Best two-way off guard.
Yeah.
When's the last time we started talking about best two-way player? Because we never used to say, we never said Jordan was a great two-way player, right? We just, he's a great, but he was.
He was.
But that wasn't a thing. We didn't feel like we had to point that out. But maybe like 15 years ago, we started really pointing out, and maybe that's analytics coming into play so people can understand defense a little bit more. But it just – because nobody knew how to quantify. It was hard for people that don't follow the sport to be able to quantify defense. They didn't really – they didn't understand it. Like, it's easy to see a great pass, rebound, or a bucket. But to understand what somebody does defensively, especially off the ball.
Like Buck Williams. That's
yes.
a two-way player
yes.
right there.
Absolutely.
The two-way player.
Yep.
Tough. Can, you know, do it.
God, that guy kicked my ass.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up a
so,
bad memory.
He was so strong.
He was country strong, as they would say.
Oh, he was strong. I love playing against him, though, because he just, no nonsense.
Yeah.
Buck just played. Didn't talk. No histrionics. Just go play ball, and then we're done. That's it. I mean, I love playing against him. It was hard, but I love playing against him. But you're right. He was a fantastic, fantastic two-way player.
So.
Not a lot of them. I mean, I think it's worth recognizing, though, when there is someone that's, like, really, really good on both ends of the court, like above average on both ends of the court.
You know, and one of the kids we watched tonight has a chance to do that, Ahmed Thompson.
Yeah.
If he can prove that three-point shot. I mean, even without a three-point shot, he's averaging 18 a night.
Because he's so explosive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I said Tigger. He's like, boing, and he's up at the rim. Like, he just outquicks everybody sometimes. But you're right. If he gets if he gets a shot, good luck.
Yeah, good luck indeed.
Yeah. Here's what happens, though. You get a shot, you stop going to the hole. You stop doing what made you good in the first place. Look at that. You want to go to the hole? Not really. This is a lot more fun.
I don't get beat up a lot.
Exactly.
You know, I just hit shots. Before I let you go, you have a pick tomorrow. I would assume you're going to Michigan.
I got to after watching them last night.
So
I mean,
good.
They just.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I think Arizona played their worst game of the year.
Yeah.
They looked nervous. They looked a lot more nervous than Michigan did.
Yeah.
But Michigan is good. They're really, really good. The only thing I would say, once Hurley gets past a Sweet 16, like, they don't lose. They just find ways to win. They're going to be outmatched.
I think their team is scared of him. So, we've got to win.
But Michigan, size, shooting, quickness, defense. I mean, they got the whole package. But that Reed kid's pretty good for UConn. I don't know if he's going to have his way inside with Mara. I mean, Mara's a big boy. Johnson's a big boy.
Yeah.
But how healthy Lindeborg's going to be?
Right.
That'll be a question.
Mullins is a kid that if he can get going, that
yep.
would help him.
Yep. So it'll be a fun game, though.
Looking forward
to it.
So.
And then we'll be back here Tuesday.
Tuesday, the Sacramento Kings are in town.
There you go. We'll see what see if the Kings can give forth the same effort they did against the Clippers tonight.
Thank you so
That's
much,
That's what
Tom.
I do for you, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter. That's Tom Tolbert. I'm Tim Roy.